It is always delightful to see the children brought into the house of God. We rejoice in the fact that when the mothers brought their children to Jesus, that he had in the spirit of his disciples who sought to turn them away. But the Lord was to touch them. And the Lord was to welcome them. And he said, as we have already intimated, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. It was but one of many occasions in which children were in the presence of the Lord. One other occasion, while teaching his disciples, he was to take a child and set him in the midst of them. And he taught them in Matthew's Gospel that except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I believe it is important that the children are brought into the house of God. I believe it is important that parents bring their children under the sound of the preaching of God's Word. For faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. And thank God the Lord is able to save the children. How sad it is that some parents do not see that necessity in this our day. How tragic that children are not encouraged out to God's house. And maybe the bad example is set by the parents, for they don't bring them out. But my dear soul, if the non-attendance in the presence of the Lord in God's house concerns us, then words cannot fully describe the concern that there is over children and parents alike who as yet have no assurance that they will be in the eternal presence of the Lord one day in heaven itself. Some of you are not saved. And what a thought that maybe some in your household are on the way to heaven and you're not. What a thought that some in this my congregation have the assurance of sins forgiven, but with regard to others, if they stay in their sin rejecting the Christ of God, then you will not be found on that great and final day in the very throne of God. Some of you are still not ready. Some of you are still not sure of heaven. And we're concerned. It is a concern, I suggest, which is reflected in a question which Judah asked the governor of Egypt. Unknown to him, it was Joseph. But he was to ask a question to Joseph concerning Benjamin. For having went down to Egypt to get grain and to get the food, Judah, along with the other brothers now, was facing the prospect of returning to their father without Benjamin. And he said these words at the start of verse 34, "For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? How shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me?" I want to leave those words with you this evening in the Gospel. I want you to consider that in the asking of this question, there is depicted a painful journey. I'm sure we all know the background to these words been uttered. Joseph had proposed to keep their younger brother Benjamin. The cup was found in his sack. And he was proposing to send the rest of them back home again. But it was something which Judah couldn't bear to think about. And especially since he had become a surety for him. He had become a guarantee and promised to his father that he would return with him. When he thought of what potentially was going to happen, it must have been what we could only describe to be a painful journey. For it is clear from these words where their destiny was taking them. They were journeying to their father. They were going the distance which would take them from Egypt, which in the scriptures is a type of the world. And they were going on that journey which were taking them to Canaan, which many think upon as a type of the heavenly land. At least it was the land which flowed with milk and honey. It was that better country. And their journey's end would take them into the presence of their father. That was their goal. That was the end of the journey. It would bring them before the one who loved them the most. The Father who had blessed them. The Father who had cared for them. The Father who had given them, even every one of them, their task. They would come before their Father. And when they arrived there, they would be in that place which was called home. They would know their rest from their labors and from the toils and hardships of the journey. That was the journey which they were making. But oh, it would be a painful one, and it will be a distressful one if they knew that one was not traveling with them. It would be heartbreaking in the knowledge that the family was not all traveling together and that there was one missing from their company. And that is why Judah asked this question. And he steps forward and he says, "For how shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me?" Such a journey was unthinkable. For Judah desired that when they arrived home and when they stood before their father, then they all would be present. There would not be one missing on that great and joyful day when their journey would be completed. My dear friend, I believe that each one of us of God's people can put ourselves in the shoes of Judah there. We all are, without exception, on a similar journey of life. It commences in this old world of sin and depravity. We're all been born in sin and shapen in iniquity. But we realize that our journey will reach its climax one day when we stand before the Father in heaven. For the words of 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 reminds us, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." The congregation and the preacher alike, we shall all stand before God one day. What a blessing it is to be able to speak of that personal relationship with the Father. You'll notice in my words that Judas speaks of the Father personally. He said, "My Father." Thank God, all because of the begotten, all because of the well-beloved Son, sinners such as we can have that personal experience and relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, whereby we can say, "Our Father which art in heaven." We can cry, "Abba, Father," from the heart, knowing that the Lord is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him. There are those in this meeting, and they can long for that day when they will stand before God their Father. For they are assured all because of Christ that they will hear those welcoming words, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's the hope. That's the joy that the believer carries with them as they proceed along this journey of life. A journey which has taken us to that better land. That land which is fairer than they. But oh, there's pain along that journey. And the greatest pain of all is the knowledge that not all in the family are traveling this road assured of heaven. Not all our friends are with us. There are some of the nearest and dearest of family or friends and are still not saved. A mother weeps for her child. And whether that child be knee high or whether that child be the age of Benjamin, it's still her child. He'll always be her child in her eyes. A father yearns and a father prays for his son or for his daughter to be saved. A husband or a wife may be praying that God would save their partner in life. For how shall they go to their father and that one is not with them? My dear friend, maybe you are that child. Maybe tonight you are that friend. Maybe tonight you are that son or that daughter who is still not saved. Oh, you've heard the way of God's salvation. You know that Christ came into the world to save your soul. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He took upon Himself the form of man to die on an old rugged cross that you might be saved. Maybe, husband, you are that one. Your wife can't bear to think
of standing before the Father, and you are not with them.
Sister, brother, tell me, are you that wandering one, that sheep that is lost, that's still outside the fold? That one unknown to yourself who is the cause of much concern and pain because still you're not saved. Oh, I wonder, will you not start for heaven tonight? Will you not join with those already on that way by accepting by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior and coming into that personal relationship with Him? Judah asked this question because he felt it would be a painful journey. That Benjamin was not with him. But also, secondly, I want you to consider that he asked this question because he thought of a permanent parting. When Judah asked this question, he must have been thinking, should the governor choose to keep Benjamin, then it would be a permanent parting. It was his proposal that the guilty one should remain while the others would be sent away in peace back to their home, back to their land. But to Judah and to the others, that would mean the lad would be left behind. There no doubt would be a tearful parting as they watched him and taken away and they were to go in the opposite direction. He would be unable to accompany them on that journey back to the Father's house, back to that joyful reunion. Most of the brothers would be gone while one would be left behind. And what's more, you'll notice that the biblical record instructs us that Benjamin would be left behind to become a languishing slave. That was the punishment which the governor spoke about in the words of verse 17. He said, God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. And you see that word servant, it has the rendering, it has the meaning of being a slave. Benjamin would become a slave in a strange place. He would be asked and told and instructed to do that which was given to him. The others would be free to go. The others would return home freely, but one would be detained. One would be in bondage in the lowest condition imaginable. Judah could not bear to imagine his younger brother becoming a slave and being in bondage to such a taskmaster. He could not content himself knowing that he had this freedom while all the time his brother was a slave. And thus he asked this question, how shall I go to my father and the lad be not with me? And in the mind of Judah and maybe the others as well, if he should be detained and become a slave, then there was the strongest possibility that he would never be seen again. He would be lost forever. He would never be seen again by his brothers. It truly would be a permanent parting. Is it any wonder then that Judah, on bended knee, has sought all he could do for his brother so that he too would know that freedom, so that he too would be able to come to the Father's house? Oh, my friend, when we think of this emotional scene, do we not have a great parallel with the unbeliever in the sight of God? For those who will not come to Christ, for you who will not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to the salvation of your soul, for you who have refused the invitation of the gospel, that day may not be too far distant in which you will be languishing as a slave to the devil in a lost sinner's eternity. That's the solemnity of this whole matter. That's the solemnity of this question. As believers, we must get a picture of, again, of what it is for a loved one to go to that place where the worm dieth and the fire is never quenched. What it is for a soul to die in their sin and to go to hell. What will it be for the unsaved to be living in this earth when the Lord returns? He returns to gather up all His own to bring them to their Father's house. I tell you what it will be. It will be a permanent parting. And if you should die before the Lord comes back and die in your sin, it will be a permanent parting to your loved ones who are saved. And we bring before you the words of Matthew chapter 24 and the words of verse 40. And the Lord here was instructing His disciples of the end times and of the events that must take place before His coming back. And He said in verse 40, "Then two shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." And I want to remind you that those words do not speak of a silent rapture. For the illustration immediately prior to those words is of the great flood. And the great flood was not silent. The great flood was known by all on the earth. And only those that were in the ark were saved. All else were lost. All else perished. I wonder tonight, are you in the ark, Christ Jesus? Are you in danger of perishing in your sin and being lost for all eternity? Mother and father will be parted from daughter and from son. Husband maybe from a wife. And I tell you it will be forever. For eternity is forever. And loved ones will never be seen again. Is it any wonder then that we believe it necessary to hold prayer meetings as the people of God? So that we can get down and bend at knee and pray for your soul. Pray for you, dear unsaved loved one. Is it any wonder that we seek to hold special meetings in the gospel so that you unsaved would hear the message of the gospel which is able to save your soul and you would have the opportunity to seek the Lord and to seek God's wonderful salvation? Let me remind you of other words. The words of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. It gives us another picture. It is the picture of hell itself. And the devil hath deceived them. That is you if you're not saved. The devil hath deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's what being a slave to the devil and serving the devil will bring to you. Nothing but everlasting torment in hell itself. I happened to see a while back a little clip of a golf tournament. It was been held at St. Andrews. St. Andrews is the home of golf in Scotland. It is a course which is well known for its bunkers. And a commentator during this live coverage, who was a past golfer himself, was standing in one of these bunkers. And because of its size, and because the bunker is 12 feet high vertically, and because of all the characteristics of it, it is called Hell Bunker. And the commentator, in the context of the player playing up that 14th fairway, he said these words, "The best thing that you can do in hell is to avoid it, for it is impossible to get out of it." Best thing that you can do unsaved tonight, dear soul, is to avoid hell. For I want to remind you, there's no escape there. The torment is forever. And forever. And that's a long time. And you need to flee from the wrath that is to come. The preacher does not want any one of you to go to that place. A godly mother, our father, our loved one who is praying for you yearns that you would flee from that wrath. That you would flee from the danger of a lost eternity and that you would flee to Christ. How shall we go to our Father? And you are not with us. How shall I go to my Father and my congregation be not with me? That's a fearful thought. The permanent parting. But let me show you finally here the prayerful appeal. I believe when we think upon these words that Judah was also making a prayerful appeal. He was appealing to the governor. He was doing so on the grounds of mercy. He pleaded that this man would show some mercy and favor where this young lad was concerned. He was appealing for his younger brother. A brother whom he had grown to love and to care for. A young man whom he didn't want to see harmed nor in danger nor in bondage. Judah, above all the rest, came forth to plead and to pray for this young man because he had a burden for him. And we know that he pleaded for him at his own expense. He, the elder brother, was putting himself in danger. And if it was possible, he was prepared to take Benjamin's place so that he would take his punishment and that Benjamin would go free. Don't you read that in the words of verse 33 of the chapter? Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad. A bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go with his brethren. Now tell me, is that not having a burden for this young man? He wanted to stay back instead. He wanted to become his substitute. So Benjamin will be set free. He was prayerfully appealing that Benjamin will be released. He will be set free to return to his father's house. Let the lad go with his brethren, for how shall I go to my father and the lad be not with me? And my dear friend, I would make a prayerful appeal to your soul tonight, that you tonight in this gospel service would consider your latter end. And that you would cast yourself upon the mercy of the Lord. For if you are ever to be saved, it will only be on the grounds of God's mercy. For the word of God reminds us, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Oh, will you not take the gift tonight? It's not of works, lest any man should boast. God's salvation is on the grounds of mercy, and it is by grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing that you do or can offer can ever liberate you from the chains of sin that bind. Thank God there is one who can set the prisoner free. There is one who can save you tonight from being a languishing slave to the devil in a lost eternity. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called the Lion of Judah. Naturally, he came from that very same tribe. And it was the Lord who suffered in our guilty room and in our guilty stead. And upon him was laid the load of your sin and mine on the cross of Calvary. And he willingly paid the full punishment for it. He was our substitute. He died the just for the unjust. Instead of the unjust, if you like. That he might bring us back to God. What a Savior. What a Savior that he should lay down his life for sinners and rebels such as we. We who were undeserving wretches. So that a way would be opened up from the dark paths of sin. Oh, tonight I tell you there's a glorious freedom. And there's a glorious liberty to be found in the Savior and in the message of the Gospel. For he has said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Aye, and he's not ashamed to call us our brethren. Oh, dear sinner, tonight, I appeal to you. I appeal to you, boys and girls. I appeal to you, young people. I appeal to you, men and women, to hold back no longer, but to make good preparation for heaven and for home this evening. Will you not come to the Savior? Will you not ask Him in believing faith to pardon your soul from your sins and to be assured tonight before you leave this house that you have a home in heaven? That's what God can give you. That's what the message of the gospel gives to the dear sinner that comes by faith. Oh, I trust and pray tonight that you'll receive this message and you'll receive Christ as Lord and you'll go home assured you have a home in the Father's house. For how shall we go up to our Father and the lad be not with us? How shall I go to my Father? And you're not there. You're not with me. May God be pleased to write His word upon our hearts this evening. And that a soul tonight with childlike faith would accept Christ and be saved. Amen.